Welcome to the Quack Hole Podcast, the most official, unofficial Oregon Ducks podcast on the web footosphere. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Quack12Podcast or visit our website, quack12podcast.com. If you like what you hear, please leave us 5 stars on your listening device. And if you'd like to support the show, please visit the Quack 12 Patreon page, where for a measly $5 a month, you can become an official Quacker and unlock hundreds of hours of Oregon Duck content. On to the show. Quack, quack.
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 Quack. 12 in.
Ow! I'm your host, Adam Jamail.
And I'm also your other host with the most ghosts in the basement, Aaron Schroeder.
That's right. We always have that claim. We have the most ghosts during recording of our podcast. We've always said that. It's always been true. Prove us wrong.
Go back and check the tape.
Prove us wrong.
Catch the ghosts. Listen to every episode. Go back.
Yep.
Look, go back. Go to Apple Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to every episode. Prove us wrong while you're there. Make sure to give us 5 stars. Leave a review. Hey, when you do or do not hear us saying we have the most ghosts.
Yes.
Leave a comment that you heard it.
Yeah.
And then give us 5 stars.
When you hear the ghost, if you feel like a chilling hand on the back of your shoulder for a second while you're listening to this podcast, that's one of the ghosts. That's them making their visit. And not only that, but these ghosts are actually all celebrities too. It's pretty cool. Like, you know the ghost in the background of Three Men and a Baby? That ghost is on the pod.
That kid?
Today, that kid. He's
that
still
scary
a
kid.
He's an eternal kid. Yeah,
we've got John Candy.
John Candy, he's a big ghost
John
here.
John Belushi.
Space Ghost.
Prince.
Ghost Dad, unfortunately.
Ghost
that does
Dad.
Not, that one
oh,
did not
boy.
Age well, yeah.
We've got Ghost. Ghost?
From Ghost, the movie Ghost?
From Ghost.
Oh, yeah, we got him. We got those scary black ghosts from the black shadowy ghosts, I should say. Hold on.
Yeah,
from Ghost that drag him down to hell. All right, now I'm canceled. Welcome to the Quack 12 Podcast, the most official, unofficial Oregon Ducks podcast on the web footosphere. And we got a lot to talk about, starting with, really quickly, the NFL Combine. That is right. We've got
seven ducks
getting their measurements in, testing their strengths. This is never really that interesting to me until draft day comes here officially, you know. It just kind of feels like people practicing, which is exactly what it is.
Well, I mean, some kid ran a 4.22 40. Who was that?
Someone, that's for sure. Probably,
and maybe like,
Bucky Irving. I don't know. He ran a 4.55. That's good. Troy Franklin, 4.41.
That's better.
Actually, people have really been talking about Jackson Powers Johnson as one of the best centers. One of the best maulers, boy.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm pretty excited about that one. Brandon Dorlis, fast as hell, 4.85 seconds. Kyrie Jackson's been talking a lot of shit. I enjoy that. He's been saying stuff like, someone asked, like, is Rome Odunze the best receiver that you covered? And he's like, no, Troy Franklin. Said his own teammate, and I like that.
Yeah.
Hey, and safety Evan Williams, they're all there. Bo Nix, too.
If you need any other proof
of
why we have the greatest coach in collegiate sports.
In Kelly Graves.
That answer is, in Kelly Graves.
No, in Dan Lanning, I get what you're saying.
Yeah. Which, it's statements like that prove we had somebody properly training these kids.
Yeah, to talk. Man. Yeah, I get you. To talk to the media. Yeah, no, they've all been doing really well. I'm excited for them.
You know.
Yeah. Excited to see where Bo goes, yeah.
I don't like the word combine.
Combine.
Why does it feel so oppressive?
It does sound very mechanic.
It feels like war.
Yeah.
It feels like we're violent.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you got to be violent and play foosball nowadays.
Why not call it trials?
trials. You should write in.
I'm gonna. No. I think I've come up with a better word.
Combine. Combine does sound. You think of like it's combustion. Tough. That's what I think about.
Yeah. I just think it's. I'm like,
hey. Yeah. We're looking.
They're just running. They don't even have pads on. They're just running.
Yeah.
Throwing.
Doing fun little drills. Troy Franklin looked good catching the ball. What can I say? Anyways, that's all I really got to say.
Call it banana slap hour.
You could.
Know? Why not?
You could call just about anything banana slap hour. But before we do that, let's get into our next segment known as banana slap hour.
Yes. Quacksball. Quacksball.
Now, Aaron.
Really quickly.
That's right. Well.
I just have to say before you jump in, thank you for indulging me.
Well, what can I say?
Go ahead.
What can I say? What can I say, my friend? So, Quacksball, we're getting near the end of the season. It's all come to this. It's basically for these two teams, the men's and the women's. It's how bad do you want it? What can you achieve?
Well,
if you're going to win some games, right now is the time to win some games.
Yeah.
Let's start with the men's team.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Two games we've had since we last talked. Now, I went to one of these games, can you believe it or not?
I can.
I went to Matt Court.
You know what I can't believe?
What's that?
Is that you were actually invited by Dan Lanning, and had the camera zoomed out, they would have shown that you were sitting right next to him.
Yeah, of course.
I can't believe that.
Of course. I was right there. No, I did see him. Yeah. I clocked him. He was right there.
Nice.
People were into him. It seemed like it was a recruiting thing, maybe. It was a fun time. I went to the Oregon State game. That game was...
That was a good game.
It was a good game. The only thing that kind of... you know, got some of the wind out of your sails during that game was that you were thinking like, oh, this is a close game. This is competitive. Oregon's got the edge. Seeing some great things from like Kwame Evans, obviously. Brennan Rigsby's playing out of his fucking mind.
Brother, I was getting excited for that kid on the couch and thinking, wow, Adam's in the stadium while this dude is literally trying to give himself a concussion.
Oh, it was nuts. Those two dunks he had.
Two dunks?
Were insane.
And he's like being... He was working so viciously on defense, dude.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, when he's got a bit more muscle and a bit more breath, he could actually be... really aggressive.
Yeah, I think like that defensive part of the game and then like trying to get some more consistency because it's so crazy where it's like there's games where he's just like, is this our best player? Oh my God, this is insane. Look what he's doing out there. He's looking athletic like fucking crazy. He's, you know, like he could win the dunk contest right now. But then there's days like the next game against Arizona where you're just not getting much out of him. It's unfortunate. But in this game, so like Kwame Evans, Dante looking great out there, like, you felt really good in the building. It was also a close game, which was kind of fun. But you're also like, this is like the worst Pac-12 team. Maybe we shouldn't be this close at home.
Yeah, and that was what I was thinking the whole time because I was like, really, they're constantly 2 points, 4 points in the lead.
Yeah,
like, that's a little irritating. Here, especially when you're watching just how tough some of our players are trying to play.
Yeah.
So you're like, this dude's got the fucking burners on.
Yeah.
And yet we're still only ever able to get up by five.
I think a big part of that, I mean, the easiest thing in the world is to go injuries with this team.
Sure.
But it's also kind of like, you know, if Cousnard, if like Cousnard, Shellstad, Dante, I think those are the easiest ones to point out. If they could get more rest time without it being a big, like, when they're not out there, we're not scoring points kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
If Keyshawn Barthelemy, who's having a great season, if Mookie could come out, if Biddle, if all three of these could, like, spell these players while also adding offensively, everyone would be better. But that's not going to happen. So, like, this is the team we have, you know. And the reason why you're seeing them work so hard is because they have to work so hard.
Yeah.
Because they're it, you know what I mean? We got eight scholarship players right now that are able to
play. I got to tell you,
mm-hmm.
I think Rigsby, he might be that kid that, like, whenever he's on the court in those kinds of games.
Yeah.
He's maybe proactively, like, singing Eye of the Tiger in his head.
I mean, dude, you know, it was,
like,
amazing.
Every moment is a movie, is the moment in
time. It was amazing.
Where, yeah, so it was fun to watch them be that against a very bad Oregon State team.
Yeah.
Or according to their, what was it, 4-11 is what they went in.
Yeah.
So it's like, that seems very bad.
Right now they are literally... Or not 4-11. It looks like it was, they were 4-13. Now they're 4-14.
There it is. That's bad.
And they are truly the bottom of the Pac-12. So it's unfortunate to you know that it's a close game at home. But I'll tell you what, we swept both our rivals. That's fun.
Hey, right.
Yeah.
Who is the dude on Oregon State that has like 5-foot legs? Who is this guy?
I don't know. I'll tell you,
you know
the truth.
What I'm talking about?
I should, but I don't know. Pope is the only name I remember. I got it here. I got it here. I'll pull him up.
Yeah, he's number four. He's like 7'2" or something, but it's all leg.
These legs really caught your eye.
Well, I mean, he was going against
Dante.
What's his name the whole time? Yeah.
Number four.
So, but then it became very apparent that even the shorter Dante has the same wingspan and has just got more meat on his bones. So he was winning all the battles, which was also really fun to watch.
Hell yeah, baby. There's a number 24, Sente Ibekwe.
Mm.
I don't know. These are things I should know. Certainly.
Yeah, it's all right. It's Oregon State. Who cares?
Who gives
a fuck? Are we going to have to ever deal with them again?
Well, I bet you, especially because it's basketball, I feel, you have so many non-con games. I feel like we're
because it's close.
Yeah,
because
it's literally the longest running basketball series in American history, which I guess is world history. So, why? I don't know. Why is it Oregon and Oregon State have played the most basketball games against each other? I don't know, but
because
they have.
I guarantee it. I bet if we accidentally slipped through another time stream and went back in time, decided to focus on basketball rather than football, we'd probably discover it's because nobody else played basketball for hundreds of miles, and so they only had each other for a really long time.
I get that, but I'm like...
So they played like 8 games a year.
But where the game was like invented, you know, more in the Midwest, that's also true there. So I'm like, why isn't it like... Why isn't Indiana in some other place? Why isn't it that... I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't tell you, but I could tell you we beat the Beavs 78-71. Good crowd.
Too close.
A bit too close, but guess what? We won. You know what I mean?
That's right.
A bit too close for comfort, but still, it's a win. And then came, this is a game where it's like, it's not like I was holding out sincere hope. Like, I had that bit where I'm like, yes, I hope we win. I'm watching the game. I'm tuning in. You know, I hope this happens. I'd love if this happens. It'd be a big moment if we beat Arizona, who's clearly the top of the conference, class of the conference. They're a great school. They are the only, like, top 5 Pac-12 team, favorite. They're definitely going to win the Pac-12, or they're definitely one seed in the Pac-12 tournament.
But are we talking about this now?
We're talking about it.
This is some of the worst feelings.
Yeah, we got blown fucking up. This was not for a second.
There was a player who just seemed like it was casual to just sink threes on us.
Yeah, there was a couple. I agree.
Yeah, and I mean, it was like watching a team. It was like watching five guys who everyone in that building was their personal best friends, and they really wanted to show them a cool new trick they just learned.
Yeah.
And we were the trick.
Yeah.
They were like, watch us. Oh, God. It felt so bad.
McHale Center, which is, you know, even in a bad season, still a really tough place to play. Like, Arizona Wildcat fans, they love their basketball. Let alone, you know, when you're a really good team going against a brand and you're favored. And Arizona's the kind of team that, like, they're trying to just blow the doors out of you. Like this, you know, they've scored 100 points on other Pac-12 teams as well. Like this is what they do. And yeah. we haven't been a great defensive team all season.
No.
If you score more than 69 points, you're winning the game. It's kind of insane how true that has become for this team.
Yeah. Now, here's the kicker for me. Is because I do the DVR, I watched these two games, you know, back to back. So I went right out of that first game, really lit up. Like, holy shit. Like, some players are showing up right now.
Yeah.
We might look decent against Arizona.
Yeah.
And then immediately start watching the Arizona game, and I'm like, oh. Yeah, they're working fucking hard out there. Like, Rigsby's still fucking working hard. And then it's like, oh, but it does not matter.
Yeah.
It does not matter.
We're just...
Our 110% is their 87%.
Yeah. I think I think our depth and our lack of... The other thing is, it's not just depth. Like, it's not just the fact that, you know, all of our players are more tired because there's not someone to back them up. It's also the fact that we're not a very versatile team anymore. Like, we got Dante. Dante's freaking amazing. But when you pass the ball to Dante, like, he's not shooting a three. He's probably not.
He's tried
not,
a few times.
Yeah. Well, he's barely shooting, you know, from mid-court. Like, his game is a very specific game. Same with, like, Shells.
It's an efficient game.
Yeah. I mean, he's a great player. And, you know, like, he was a highlight still. Like, he got 16 points in this game. But it was just that we had a slow start, and they heated up real quick. They had more than 50 points in the first half. They could have had more than 103 points if they wanted. And one funny thing is, I would say, I mean, the MVP for Oregon is obvious. MVP for Oregon in this game is very obvious because I believe, I have it written down somewhere here, but like Jermaine Cousinard, in the first half, no one was having a good night for the Ducks. Like, absolutely no one was having a good night.
Right.
And you were looking at people like Cousinard being like, you're one of our leaders. Like, we need you. We need anyone to hit a three. But, like, oh, my God.
That was the thing that kept bugging me. It was like, fuck, dude, you have to be our three guy. Because we all know, like you said, we all know what Dante's job is. So you have to be out here.
And not only that, but, like, they're missing, like, close shots. They're missing easy shots. They're missing finishing layups. But then Cousinard comes out in the second half and scores, goddamn, I believe, he scored a career-high 39 points. 33 of those points were in the second half.
Wow. Wow.
So now, that's good, I guess.
Would you equate that shift in ability? I feel like the thing that I feel like they're still kind of working on, and whenever they've got it humming, it's totally like then they're in the element creating those bigger opportunities is just really good ball versatility with, like, passing.
Or just moving around, mob movement.
Yeah, ball movement. Yeah. Like, once they're, you know, getting into position and moving. But they just looked a bit more confused in this game.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's because Arizona's just always, you know, like, white on rice or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. I think...
Tough.
I think it's just... Well, our offense hasn't been great too much either. Our offense is really reliant on the three, and you live and you die. by the three. You know what I mean? And in this one, until Cousnard really got going, we just didn't have it in us. In the end, we were 6 of 20 from three-point. Cousnard hit 4 of those. I think, like, almost all 4 of those came in the second half. I forget. Maybe not. We finished shooting 52%, but that first half, we were shooting far below that. Compared to them, they were shooting 60% from the floor and hit 14 out of 25 three-pointers. Like, they...
Bravo. I mean, who are the culprits there? Because if you say the name, I might remember the guy that
well,
I was like...
Well, we got Caleb Love. Caleb Love was going off. He was doing amazing.
That's who it was.
Yeah, he was definitely
up
there. He
looked so serene. Like, dude could be a ballerina. He was so confident and calm out there.
Well, we had Caleb Love. We had Pell Larson, who's also... I kept hearing that name. This is just a great team, whereas in like that not only did they get some great talent transferred in, like Caleb Love from UNC, but also they have people that have been there for a long time, like Larson, like Balo. They had 4 players score more than 18 points on our ass. 5 players score in double digits. They even had like off the bench. Which is not something that happens very often, but Boswell was insane, playing out of his fucking mind, hit 5 three-pointers, 7 of 9 from the floor. Like, I don't know what to say about this game. I want to forget it.
I do. You just explained it with actual data.
Yeah.
It's called 1 point per minute.
Yeah.
Make Shit, 1 point per minute that you're on the fucking court. There it is.
Let's see. I want to see how many players. Okay. All those players played out of their mind. Not a single one scored 1 point per minute. Because that's a ridiculous standard. Oh, actually, no. You know who did?
Love.
One player did. One player scored 1 point per minute.
It only takes one.
To play like the 1 point per minute game, you got to be Jermaine Cousnard.
No,
Jermaine Cousnard scored 39 points and he played 37 minutes.
Dude,
now
Cousnard,
33
Cousnard
of those,
and he's applying it.
33. It was kind of like cramming because in the second half he scored 33 of those in 20 minutes. But so there you go. We just need more players to play absolute bonkers game like Cousnard. Then suddenly we'll be the best team in NCAA history. So there you have it.
Yeah.
Now, Aaron, we have huge games coming up for this men's team.
Oh, boy.
If you have faith in this team, then now's the time. It's all got to come into fruition or else we are fucked. Because
first off.
Yes.
How many contingencies do we have here? What else needs to happen before we do anything?
Well, okay. To win the Pac-12 tournament, I mean, to win the Pac-12 regular season, that's done. We can't do that. Arizona,
okay.
It's likely going to be, or I don't even think another team has the possibility. I'm looking right now. I guess it's possible for Washington State to be number one.
No shit.
It would take them winning their last. Let's see. Let me check here. Actually,
they need it.
I don't even know if it. Because they're 19, 18. I'm trying to do some math. It's possible. It would take Wazoo beating Washington, and which is likely. And then Arizona would have to not win their last two games is when I want to say it would be. But that doesn't really matter to us. Either way, we're not getting one. It's either going to be Arizona or Wazoo. It'd be kind of more fun if it was Wazoo because they're definitely like a rising. But
maybe,
anyways, yeah.
Yeah, the only reason why I asked that is because I figured maybe there could be a freak occurrence in the tourney where Arizona gets knocked out early.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And then we end up being able to put on some kind of we just apply the lighter fluid again?
Well, this is what'll happen. I mean, this is the position we're in, okay? Top 4 teams get that first game is a bye. You don't have to play that first game.
Cool.
That's a huge advantage.
It sure is.
Right now,
we could use that.
We are in fourth place in the Pac-12. We control our destiny in this regard.
Whoa.
But here's the thing, man.
Huge D&D
Who's
moment.
In third place? Colorado. With the same record. We both have 11-7 conference records.
Ew.
Who's in fifth place? Utah.
Oh,
they have a 9-9 conference record. Okay?
Okay.
So what's going to happen here, this is what it comes down to. So does UCLA. I don't think that'll really come into play. What'll happen here is, because our next two games, our last two games of the season, first one against Colorado. That's huge. This is at home. Then Utah. So it's, we play the two games, like if we were to...
These are literally the most important games because of just the way everything rolls.
Basically, I mean, it certainly feels that way.
It's a real D&D moment.
It really is. I don't know what you mean by that, but yeah. It's a time where you need a high roll. You definitely need a high roll.
All of the things have accidentally come together in the exact way the dungeon master wanted them to where you are put to your extreme limits of, did you spell cast enough?
Yeah. I mean, if you want to put it that way, absolutely. Like, if we lose to Colorado, let's say we lose to Colorado and Utah were to win, that's what it would take. Yeah. That wouldn't knock us out completely. We would still have number four, but we'd be eliminated for number three, which doesn't matter too much. But if we were then to lose to Utah, and if Utah were to win both of their games, which I guess they would if they beat us, and they're going against Oregon State is their other game, Utah.
Oh,
so they're probably
well,
win
a win,
that game.
Probably.
Yeah. So if Utah wins both their games and Oregon loses both of their games, which Utah and Oregon play, then we are in fifth place. And that would be
a bummer.
Giant gut punch. But as of right now, we just have to win one of these games and we get a bye.
You know what?
What's that?
I didn't expect this to happen, Adam. But the universe has spoken to me.
Oh, shit.
I actually think Oregon State is going to win that game.
Oh, that'd be great. It'd be great for us.
It feels right. It feels like that's the right thing that's going to happen.
I would love that. It would feel really good. So, yeah, that's where we're at with them. Now, let's talk about the women's teams. Because they wrapped up their season. I mean, we knew what kind of season this is. This is a season where it's a rough one. We were kind of fighting for, like, if we win one of these games, maybe we won't be the worst team in the Pac-12. Maybe it'll be Arizona State instead. We didn't win either of these games. One of them, I would say, was especially crushing. That was the game against Cal. That's the game that happened first. Because...
Oh, I missed that. Oh, wow. So I watched the final game.
The final game of the season. Because against Cal, it was only a good game. Well, it was a close game. We rallied back to get a lead in the fourth quarter. That's pretty huge because if you've been watching this team, like, it being close in the fourth quarter is kind of a rarity for us. We're usually just getting blown out. So it was nice that, you know, this was a back and forth thing. There was like, I want to say like 7,000, about 7,000 fans in attendance, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
For a bad Oregon women's basketball team near the end of the year against a bad opponent, 7,000 people show up. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. It could have been nice to have that at the final game instead, because there was nobody at that game.
Well, no, there's around that same amount of people.
It
looks really sparse.
That's a huge space.
Well, it's also, I can say this, having gone there compared to seeing TV.
Yeah.
That because, like, those first rows are more expensive, and those are the ones that the cameras pick up.
Uh-huh.
And so it'll be like you know, people have season tickets there, but then the season ticket holders won't show up. But then right. the $10
they're
seats
just donors.
In the back, those are completely filled.
Right.
It would be cool if in the second half they just said, like, okay, everyone can move down, you know.
Yeah.
But
honestly,
yeah.
when that ball goes up, you better be in your goddamn seat.
Oh, yeah.
If you're not, and that clock has started and this game is on, that seat is fair game. Anybody who wants to fight for it, take it.
Hell yeah, baby.
I don't care if the Ballard Bridge is up.
Ballard Bridge? Why would the Ballard Bridge? What's going on?
This game is happening somewhere where a Ballard Bridge exists.
There you go. Yeah, but we lost this one 62-59. We were just not clutch
That's
enough.
That's a shame.
This felt like one we really, really, really could have used. Just to break what, I don't know, what is this, a 13-game losing streak? We have not won a game since January 14th when we beat Arizona, which is kind of amazing that we did. Like, I kind of want to go back and watch that game because it's amazing that we won that one. We lost. Don't know what to say. That was a heartbreaking one. And then number four, Stanford. Well, you know, we never really thought we were going to win this one.
Right.
It's senior night. It was senior night.
Yeah.
We had
one senior got something. They said it.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, she got something on her senior night.
Yeah. It was, it was Ula Chamberlain, who you know I've been really high on because Ula Chamberlain, she transferred. Well, okay. I believe she played at the University of San Diego. I'm probably wrong there. Or a university in San Diego. Well, she played at Weber State. And then she played a couple years in California. And then she just transferred to University of Oregon to be a student. She was not looking to play. She did not make the team. And then she was playing shoot-around basketball at the U of O gym with the team. And all the players were being like, this girl is fucking good. You know, she should be on the team. Kelly Graves adds her to the team. And sure enough,
she's like, I'm not about that life.
No, well, I mean, no, now she loves basketball.
She's back in. It's so weird. She's like, you know what? I'm done with basketball. I'm going
to
go over here.
Well, she was done with basketball. You know, that is a lower level of basketball, too. She just wanted to go to the University of Oregon. She loves playing basketball because she's playing at the court.
I hope they didn't pressure her into being on the team.
No, they just did a great interview with her. She said this is cool. Literally, I mean, they probably did pressure her to be on the team. Yeah. As in, like, hey, you should come be on this team. We're fucking terrible.
You really should do this.
And
you should do this.
I mean, and it was a good decision because pretty quick, I mean, she started like 7 games. She's played in like plus 20 games. She's our best 3-point shooter.
Professional career on the horizon?
No, not at all. But, fuck yeah, good for her. I don't know how her eligibility really worked out. I would assume if she wanted to, she could. She hasn't said that she for sure isn't, but it seems like she is. Yeah, done. But I want to say she said this has been a dream come true for her.
Yeah,
she's playing starting minutes out there. She's certainly one of the biggest strengths on the team. As is, we should say this, Bella Hamill. Bella Hamill was playing at Lane Community College before she started playing for the University of Oregon. She's from Hillsboro, Oregon. So we got a couple true Oregonians here. Kennedy Williams was also honored. So those were our three seniors. And good for them. It was good to see them.
I think you just hit me over the head with the dummy stick.
Okay.
That's one of our best players, right? She's already...
Yeah. I guess
she figured out before she even went to the University of Oregon that basketball as a career was not in the cards. So I'm just going to go to school. And then they were like, you should really join the team. You're super great. And she's like, yeah, okay. And so it's like fun.
Yeah.
It's still not the path forward. So maybe we have a team devised of women who have realized there is literally no true incentive to go professional.
Oh, well, I don't. I think we still have players who that's their dream still. Chance Gray. Thanks.
Bring me off the list.
Chance Gray, Filipina Che, Grace Van Sluten. I don't think they will make a WNBA team when they're ready to go, but I'm sure they want to. They're still trying to. I think Grace Van Sluten is the best prospect out of all of them.
Yeah, we need the dreamers. We need the people who... We need the kids who are playing Eye of the Tiger in their head every game.
Well, you know who... if we want to talk about some optimism...
Yeah, give me some inspiration.
In the future, kind of who we're putting a bunch of our chips in right now. Mm-hmm. Would you believe it? Right now... is playing at Garfield High School. What do you think of that?
Kenny G?
No. Katie Fiso.
What?
So, because I talked about Janiyah Williams. She's coming in. I actually was an idiot. I thought she was coming in this next season. She's coming in the season after that. She's a point guard. But who we are hoping on just won a huge Garfield game. Katie Fiso, I believe is how you say her name. I'm not sure. She just led Garfield to a third straight WIAA state title. She's averaged 22 points per game. She's committed to us in the 2024. She's our future point guard. We're really hoping she's going to help us out. But as of right now, what's that? Katie Fiso.
Fiso. Spell it.
F-I-S-O.
F-I-S-O, okay.
Unless it's FISO, okay. But I doubt it. We played against Stanford. They kicked our fucking ass because we're not – we shouldn't even be on the same court as them, honestly. But I just wanted to shout out those three seniors. I would love specifically – I mean, you know, Bella Hamill, Kenny Williams. If they want to come back, that'd be great. But for me, Ula Chamberlain is the one where I'm like – if she can, if she wants, she's the one that would be very welcome to come back. Because she's actually contributed, like, she's contributed, like, you got to be cutthroat.
How can she come back if she's a senior?
Because she didn't play 1 year. A full last year, she did not play collegiate basketball.
It's so
if you
confusing.
Played in 2020, you get that extra year because of COVID. The whole COVID season does not count.
I hate that it still lingers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, fucking Cam McCormick is playing his eighth year of college football.
It's wild, brother.
Yeah. What can I say? So that's who I'd hope. I mean, this game was kind of closer. We won the third quarter, I guess you could say. It's closer than you would think it would have been, but we lost by 20 points. Like, I don't know what to tell you, man. So that's... cool.
I wrote.
By the way, I did see myself on TV multiple times.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Because I was looking furiously.
It's super hard. So they play this commercial. I forget her name. I should definitely remember her name. There's this very good commentator for the Pac-12 women's basketball. I'm looking it up right now. Who she had cancer. She beat cancer. It's very, Tammy Blackburn. There you go. So okay. Tammy Blackburn, whenever they show this clip, it's like a 2-minute clip of like, this is why we do it. Like Tammy Blackburn, she fought cancer. We dedicate mm-hmm. this month to her, you know, blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah. They have a 2-minute clip. And in that clip, they have a shot of her covering Seattle, the Pac-12 women's tournament, which I went to by myself because you refused to leave your house. And I got front row tickets to for about $12. And I sat literally right behind them. So as they're talking about, like, show this clip, you see me going, waving in the background.
It.
So I've seen myself multiple times. You could have been in that clip, but... you decided to not go, so have fun with that.
You know,
even though that was the year, you could have seen Sabrina Ionescu kick some ass, but
Adam,
I guess you had something else to do.
Are you familiar with Fight Club?
No. Aaron, so we lost to Stanford.
We did.
Right now, we're about to go into the Pac-12 women's tournament.
Here's my only note.
Let's hear it.
Of any real consequence about the game,
mm-hmm.
because it was a game that I was just a bit more bummed about throughout,
mm-hmm.
because it also just happened that I watched Arizona. But if the back of the rim were worth 2 points, we would have scored 100 fucking goals, my man. We can hit that exact spot beautifully.
Yeah, we can. So many layups. Hit that fucking back of the rim. We would be swimming in points.
Oh, my God.
I laugh.
It's a vibe.
Laugh so I don't
cry. It's a vibe
cry.
To watch where you're just like, it's a moment when you realize if God exists, he is an evil God. Because you wouldn't make anyone go through that. There's no point. Just let
I agree. I agree. So
he's a ruthless tyrant, this God who allows the back of the rim to be hit so many times.
Damn, basketball's got you in a dark spot. So we're recording this Wednesday, March 6th in the morning, a mere three hours before we play the last Pac-12 women's basketball tournament, possibly our last Pac-12 basketball tournament game, possibly our last women's basketball game of the season if we lose this. Because I'll tell
does
you this.
The whole tournament,
I'm
does
not,
the whole tournament take this day? Or is it multiple days?
No, it's multiple days. It's back-to-back-to-back-to-back days.
Gotcha.
Now, I don't think we would make the WNIT if we were to lose. We certainly don't deserve it. I can imagine a world where they're like, well, you're a big basketball name. We actually don't care about your record. You get the invite. I don't think that would happen. If it did, I'm putting my foot down, Aaron. The Quack 12 podcast is no longer covering NIT tournaments.
If women's or men's
to
go to the NIT, you're going to not cover it.
No, I'm done.
I will.
Okay, there we go. That sounds good. If any coverage comes from you, if you don't bring it up, it's not being covered.
Got it.
Okay.
I mean, my DVR is going to record everything.
We'll
see what
go.
Happens.
Because I'm done. I'm so sick and tired of covering those things. They're so boring. We never win them. Even if you win them, it kind of means fucking nothing. I hate covering those games.
Yeah, it's silly. It's a silly thing.
Yeah. So the game's coming up today. By the time you're listening to this, the game's already happened. This episode was supposed to come out yesterday, but peek behind the curtain. Eugene was just out of internet yesterday all morning, so we couldn't record this. But it presents us a unique opportunity to end this podcast, Aaron, because we can make predictions. And as people are listening to this, they could see how right or wrong we were. Now, this is who we're playing.
Okay.
Because we're number 12, we play the highest seed, basically, available that didn't get the bye. Top four teams, which I believe is... off the top of my head, I'm guessing Stanford, UCLA, Oregon State, USC. Those four teams...
Sounds good.
They all got their bye. So now we're going against number 5 seed, Colorado, number 18, so this is another top 25 team we're playing. This is, of course, the MGM Grand Garden Arena in Las Vegas. They're a great team, if I'm being real. They enter the Pac-12 tournament having lost 5 of its last 6 games, but they have never not been ranked this season. They've been ranked every single week. They got as high as number 3 in the country at one point. They have a trio of players that are great. Aaronette Von Ley, Jalen Sherrod has been there forever. Frieda Foreman, Quay Miller has also been there forever. They're a great team. They're coached by Kelly Graves' protege, J.R. Payne. And this is it, man. This is fucking it. Like, Kelly Graves is going to be here next year. Hopefully, a bunch of our best players are going to be back next year. If not, then truly, we're doomed forever. But if Filipina Che, Grace Van Sloot, and Chance Gray, or those three, I'm going to say. Or Kennedy Basham, because Kennedy Basham, we should shout her out. She's really developed. Yeah. She's playing really great, played great against Stanford. If any of those four players transfers, I'm jumping off the metaphorical ledge for Oregon's women's basketball. This team, though, right now, they have an opportunity. A win here would at least be like, hey, we broke the 13-game losing streak. And we beat a top 25 team, and we didn't get eliminated in the first round of the Pac-12 tournament. It would mean something, right? And if we won, there is a slim chance of us making the Pac-12 tournament. But it requires us winning the big dance. There's a chance of us making the big dance. It requires us winning the Pac-12 tournament. So, Aaron...
Dear God.
Is it going to happen? Are we going to win or are we going to lose?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to lose.
The second one.
Yeah, we're going to lose.
I mean, Colorado's a ranked team. Done.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all you have to tell me anymore. We are the
Farmers.
No, we are the layup.
Yeah.
For everybody else.
Yeah.
Like, we are the practice squad getting them ready for the big dance, baby.
Aaron, as Oregon women's basketball has taught us, layups aren't 100%.
No, they are.
Give me some
They're
weird...
at least 89 to 93%.
Who's going to be our MVP, at least? Give me that. Filipina Che, Grace Van Sluten... Chance Gray.
I think those are the easy candidates.
Yeah.
I think those are the easy candidates. I think they'll probably give it to Che.
Yeah.
Because they're already very stoked on getting to color Philly and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. I mean, most double-doubles, all Pac-12. That's pretty great. Like, I'm very excited for her. I agree. I'll say...
I think she'll be offered opportunities elsewhere. I wonder where she'll go.
I hope Ula Chamberlain hits 3 3-pointers. I mean, I think other teams would probably be interested in her, certainly. I hope she doesn't go.
Right.
If she's gone, then I'm just pissed. Also, though, at the same time, I want Kennedy Basham to get more minutes in her role.
Oh. Well, that's fine.
Yeah, well. I'll say who's getting the most points. Most points. Yeah, I mean, Filipina Chase is a pretty easy guess there. I'll say Grace Van Sluten, though, just to mix it up. And later, I'll add a little part of me in the future coming in here, and I'll give like a 3-minute recap of what happened in this game.
I think Gray will get a double-double.
Nice.
And
Gray will? That'd be awesome.
And I think we might accidentally have a uproarious first quarter where we look like we could be collegiate. but then it'll maybe fade. But I think we're going to hit the first 3 of 5 3-pointers.
Whoa. There you go. First three of five.
Right.
It's so confusing. Out of our first 5 3-pointers, you could say out of our 3-pointers, we hit our first 3.
But no, once we hit number 6, it's just going to like stay there.
6 is going to go in or 6 isn't going to go in?
No, here's what I'll say. We're going to be 3 of 5 for our first 3-pointers.
Okay.
But then by the halftime, it'll be 3 and 9.
Oh, so we're taking 9. That's okay, yeah. There you go. Well, there you have it. I really regret already. I'll pepper in right now what my recap, you know, pretty soon here. We'll end the podcast on me just spouting out what happened. But I regret, because I do need to be getting going soon, even bringing this up, because we don't have enough time. and this opens up a big rabbit wormhole for me, but...
Oh, boy.
Jake from State Farm. There's been a little bit of an update. So, Caitlin Clark, basically Iowa's Sabrina Ionescu, she broke the all-time just career college scoring record, okay?
Wow.
Yeah. So big, you know, obviously big time. She's huge in Iowa. She's one of the biggest women's basketball players in America right now. So
congratulations.
And they knew she was going to break this record at a certain game. And so,
They invited.
So, Jake. Of course, Jake from State Farm is there.
Oh, no.
And, of course, he has a primo seat. Of course, yeah. It's right on the edge, as always. It's, like, also courtside. He's wearing a custom Iowa jacket, and it says Clark on the back, you know, so he's like he's a big Caitlin Clark fan. It also, of course, has the All-State logo, and of course, throughout multiple times when he's showing off his jacket, he points at the All-State logo. Like, of course, he goes like, oh, sorry, the State Farm. I always say All-State. State Farm. He's always like, And then there's this moment, and again, this is just, it's just so, I'm obsessed with this, with the marketing campaign. Travis Scott, the rapper, you know.
Wow.
Pretty big deal, yeah?
He had a McDonald's meal. I know that.
And you know that. I mean, that's how big of a deal he is. You know that he had a McDonald's meal. So he, did you know he has his own brand seltzer?
I'm sure they all do.
Yeah. So he walks into the stadium with, like, police escort, carrying his own brand of seltzer, which is already such a marketing campaign because normally... Normally they don't let you walk in...
This is a game?
This is that same game.
This isn't a fun thing where we're just shooting three-pointers.
No, this is an actual game. So he walks in with, like, a pack of his own branded seltzers, which is, like, they don't let you walk in with your own drinks, period. So this is clearly, an exception so he can be seen holding his seltzer so people buy it. Because this is a big ESPN moment. Like, extra people are clicking in because Caitlin Clark's going to break the record. And Travis Scott doesn't seem like the kind of guy who like if he's being like, hey man, how's it going? It seems like that's a big deal that he's acknowledging you, right? Like he's a big enough rapper that like he's not just gonna say hey to everybody. If he's saying hey to you, that's like
he's getting paid.
Yeah, almost. But I think he gets paid in this moment because he comes over.
Oh yeah, he's
and
there because
he
money.
Sees Jake from State Farm. And Jake's, like, talking to someone on his left. And he, like, hits his shoulder, like, hey, hey, hey. Like, hey, man. And they're like, oh, hey. Like, they're best buds.
Yeah.
And they get that high five. And and I'm just, it just amazes me. I don't know. I don't know if it's, like, an extra disgusting thing that this is all. I kind of think it's awesome.
It's, this is a wormhole. It's obviously rooted in just the mere fact that American propaganda has really taken...
Certainly State Farm propaganda.
It has taken a giant leap into a space of like, yeah, we know you know, we just don't care anymore because we already got you.
Yeah.
So there's that. It's also just a wild exploitation of the black man that I can't even fucking.
Well, no, it's not. It's not an exploitation. I'm sure, it's,
brother.
Jake from State Farm gets paid.
White men at the top of towers offering fuck you money to people that have cultural cachet. They are being utilized.
Yeah, but no. But Jake, which is not his real name, from State Farm had zero cultural cachet. Before he became Jake from State Farm.
And that's the tragedy of that is the tragedy that's being exploited here is that to him that was an answer to being comfortably wealthy.
Yeah. I'd be down, dude. Would you be Jake from State Farm, do you think?
No, I would not be Jake.
Is there a number?
They wouldn't want me. I would be way too violent.
No, but like, so you have to do what Jake does. You have to give up your life and become Jake.
Couldn't do it. No.
And you get you'll go to the Super Bowl and fucking Patrick Mahomes will come over and be like, hey, buddy. Oh, my God. It's you. and you'll get a high five.
And I would go, yeah, I'm from White House too.
Yeah,
I know
true.
Who you are.
Is there a number that could turn you into Jake from State Farm?
No.
$1 billion wouldn't do it.
No. Everybody knows that there's no ethical way to become a billionaire. And you just proved my point.
Yeah, I fucking love you, dude. You're insane.
It's fucking disgusting. I'd probably do it for
$1 million even, if I'm being honest.
Don't. But see, and that's how they get you. That's how they got us. That's why their propaganda is just so blatant now, is because they know it literally just takes a certain amount of money and we can get anybody to do what we want. And so because of that, I say fuck them.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. That's right. Yeah. The place where you get insurance. It's not a racket. Yeah. All right, y'all. We'll see you next week.
Thank you. That was great.
Hopefully we're recapping some wins. Hopefully.
Fingers crossed.
If it's three losses, if we're covering three losses, I'm going to be so fucking pissed. But we have it. We'll see y'all next week. Quack, quack.
Quack, quack.
79-30. The women's basketball team loses to Colorado in a historic loss. That is right, as in it is the worst loss of the season for Oregon. It's the worst, most lopsided loss in Pac-12 tournament history. Not only that, this is the longest losing streak in Pac-12 history. The Ducks hit one three-pointer very late in the game and shot 19% from the field. And Aaron and I will be discussing all this and the final two regular season men's basketball games on next week's episode of the Quack 12 Podcast.